I appreciate, again, this opportunity to come and study with you. It's always an honor and a very humbling experience to get up here and teach God's Word to you. Does it bother you when you hear God's Word spoken, but not completely? You know, it should. You know, because the Bible tells us that anybody who adds to or takes away from God's Word will be cursed. So it should bother us when we hear people teach God's Word, but they don't give you the whole truth. They just give you part of it. Especially when we know there's a lot more to it than what they're telling us, you know. But my lesson this morning is talking about a few of those things that people teach, but they don't teach the whole thing about God. You know, and one of those teachings is the fact that God is love. And I call that the feel good gospel. That's what it is. That God is love, and they teach that in such a way to mean that because God is love, that He would not condemn anyone to hell. Because a loving God would not do that to someone. And so, if you believe that, then we can just throw away anything that the Bible says about repentance. Because there's no need to change your behavior if God loves you just the way you are. There's no reason to change the way that you live. You know, anything that you do is just okay because God is love and He loves you just the way you are. You know, and I admit that's a very comforting sounding doctrine. But I can't find a chapter and a verse that just says that one thing. Like most false doctrines, I believe they start out with a measure of truth to them. An out-and-out lie is too easy for people to spot. But you mix in a good portion of truth with that lie, and you can make it sound really convincing. Is it true that God loves everyone? Sure it is. Sure it is. How about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, it's funny, though, how people can pull one verse out of the Bible and try to establish a whole religion just on that one point, going so far as to ignore anything else in the Bible that says something about that same subject. You know, and that's always been confusing to me about false teachers, especially people who are really knowledgeable about the Bible. How can you not read the Bible and seriously study it and not see the truth in it? And yet people want to change that. Does John in John 3:16 tell us that all a person has to do is believe in Jesus and he will be saved? Well, that's what it sounds like, doesn't it, from that one verse. And if that's all the Bible had to say about being saved, then we could say that's a good, strong doctrine. You know, all you have to do is believe in God, and you're going to be saved. 1 John 4:16 tells us that God is love. He says, and we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in Him. Now here in this verse, John comes right out and says, yes, God is love. So I'm pretty sure that this is one of the cornerstone verses where people who teach this one doctrine gets that from. And if that was the only scripture in the Bible that said anything about God, then we could say, yes, God is love, and that's all there is to it. But if you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, we're giving a little bit different view of God. And he says there, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Yes, indeed, even though God is love, He will condemn those who not only do not believe, but those who do not obey him. You know, to believe insinuates obedience. Without obedience, belief really doesn't do us any good. You know, James tells us that the devils believe and tremble, but they don't obey God. So they believe, but it's not doing them any good, is it? And God says to those who do not obey will be eternally punished. You know, but that message doesn't get taught much, because that would mean that people are going to have to change their lives and their ways and their lifestyle. And that's not what most people want to hear, for the most part. But there are those in the world who do want to hear that and who will change when they hear the truth. Those are the people that we want to reach. No one likes to be told that what they are doing is wrong. But sometimes being told that what you're doing is wrong is the exact thing that we need to hear. Remember King David, when he had his sin? He gets caught up in that and you lose sight of everything else. But when they brought it to his attention that he was the one that was committing sin, he changed. You know, because a good person will change once he hears the truth. God tells us in many places of the things that we do that are wrong. And as a matter of fact, it says he even hates some of the things that people do. And so you may ask, well, if God is love, then how can he possibly hate? God not only loves, he is love. And I don't know about you, but I can't even grasp the idea of someone being pure love. You know, it's a love that humans, I don't think we can quite understand that. How can God love a bunch of sinners so much that he would send his only son to die for them? You know, I don't think there's any person in our audience here today who would send their baby or their children out to die for a bunch of sinners. We're not going to do that. You know, we can't understand the magnitude of that type of love. But as hard as that is to understand, a God of pure love can also have hate in his heart. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. Proverbs 6, 6 through 19. And we'll read those verses here in just a minute. Now, I don't know why God chose at this time just to mention these seven things that he hates. You know, maybe the people of that time, that was what they needed to hear at that particular time. Maybe it was written for us to read in our time, because that's the things that we need to hear. You know, but let's read those verses and then we'll talk a little bit about them. Proverbs 6, 6 through 19, it says, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. That's a very strong word there that he uses, abomination. That means that he just hates that, I guess, as much as you can hate something. It's an abomination. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, and a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among the brethren. You know, how do you suppose it will make a person feel to know that what they are involved in is something that God hates? Would it make them want to change their ways? Or would they care at all what God thinks about a certain matter? He points out here seven things which the writer says that God hates. But let me say this before we get to looking at those things. I believe it's a good and honest statement to say that God hates all sin, not just these particular things. But in these verses, we are directed to seven things that God really hates for people to be involved in. And one thing that you may notice about these things, these are all things that reflect that outward condition or the inward condition of a person's heart. They are reflections of the evil that lies inside of us, that if we allow those things to overpower us, it's going to be bad. And one of the things I notice about our society that we live in today is just the attitude of people in general has really changed over the years. I'm fixing to be 65 years old this year, and the best that I can remember, I can't ever remember a time when things, they just keep getting worse and worse and worse, you know? And that's how sin is. Sin doesn't get better. It just keeps getting worse if you don't get rid of it. There's a passage in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, that talks about some of the things that have to do with the end times. And we are living in the end times, by the way. We are told in other scriptures that nobody will know when the end is, when the actual day of the end is going to be. But when we read these passages in Timothy 3, 1 through 5, I think you can see how these things are very prevalent in our society today. It says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. They will be boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power." And it says, "Avoid such men as these." Now that sounds like a pretty good description of America today and the way that people's attitudes are here. Certainly there's still a lot of good people in America. You know, there's always going to be a remnant of people who love God and try to do what He wants us to do. But the seven things that we read about here in Proverbs bring about the behavior that we just read about there in 2 Timothy. You know, so let's examine some of these things. And the first one mentioned in chapter 6, verse 17 is haughty eyes. You know, I've seen people with haughty eyes, haven't you? You know, it's a arrogant look that a person has. It's a prideful look. It's a kind of look in people's eyes that when you look at them, they say, "I'm better than you." You know, it's the type of look that says, "I don't need anybody. You know, I don't need God. I've got everything I need." You know, if you've ever watched any of these live broadcasts of Congress or the Senate or anything like that, you see a lot of people in there with haughty eyes, you know, and that doesn't give you a very good feeling. But second on the list, he says, is God hates a lying tongue. You know, I don't like to be lied to, do you? It doesn't matter what it is, you know, when someone lies to you about something, it destroys the trust that you have between you and that person. And a lot of times it's hard to get that trust back once it's been broken. You know, when a person is known to tell lies, it's hard for people to believe anything that they say. You know, even when they tell the truth, people may doubt it because they're so used to hearing the lies that these people tell. You know, a lie is told with the intention of deceiving someone. It is a betrayal of common trust between people. And without trust in one another, how can we do anything in life? We see results of lies around us all the time, in our political arena, in our court systems, in our banking community, and the result of lies are always ugly. You know, and something else about lies, one lie leads to another lie, doesn't it? You know, and there's just no stopping it. And the web of deceit and deception just keeps getting bigger and bigger with each lie. And after all, that was what started the fall from grace in the Garden of Eden, was the believing of a lie. Scripture tells us that Satan is the father of all lies. In John 8 and 44, Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. So I believe that you could say to the person who lies, he is following the nature of Satan. And that is not what anybody should want to find themselves doing. God says he hates a lying tongue. Third on the list is hands that shed innocent blood. In our morning adult class this morning, we were talking about abortion and how that has been such a stain on our nation and continues to be. What could be more innocent than taking of a innocent baby? And it doesn't matter how old that baby is, whether he's 10 seconds old or 9 months old, it's still a baby, you know. Just because it's not complete doesn't mean that it's still not a person. Do you suppose any of the doctors and the nurses and assistants are going to find themselves in heaven who have had a hand in the slaughter of the innocents of our country? Or how about the ones today who take such pride in different people's names, whether that be Allah or even in the name of God, in the killing of innocent people as well as committing suicide? You know, you can't seem to pick up a newspaper or turn on the news without hearing of someone who has kidnapped or killed a small child or a young person, or a parent killing their own children. God says he hates those who shed innocent blood. Number 5 on the list is feet that run rapidly to evil. You know, if you put out the word that there's going to be a big party and there's going to be a lot of beer and a lot of girls there, well, stand back and watch, because you're going to get trampled by how many people try to get there. You know, their feet want to run to evil. You know, just hear it and boy, here they come. And it's curious how the presence of evil has such a drawing power, isn't it? You know, much like a moth. Have you ever sit around a campfire and watched bugs fly around the fire? You know, they circle around and circle around. They get a little closer and oops, they get too close and they get burned up. You know, they just get too close to that flame. And that's kind of how people are with sin. You know, we want to see how close we can get to it without getting caught up in it. And well, you don't have to get very close to get caught up in it. We need to be extra careful to avoid running where evil is and instead learn to run away from it. Instead of running to it, run away from it. You know, pretty simple. Number 6 on the list, it says, is a false witness who utters lies. You know, this is very similar to the person who lies, but there's a little bit of a twist to this. This lie is told in order to damage or incriminate someone falsely. Boy, there's a lot of that going on in our country, isn't there? People lying about things and saying this guy did this, this guy did that, and you know, next thing you know, it was all just a lie. But I tell you, the best example I can think of this is, remember when Jesus had his trial and the Jews, they were saying all these things about Christ. None of them were true, you know, but they got what they wanted done because of the lies that they were telling. You know, and we see lies like that all around the world today. You know, athletes seem to be good targets for people who want to tell lies about them in order to gain some of their money or some of their fame or whatever. In politics, the same thing. You know, people will lie about them to keep them from being elected. But just remember, God says he hates a false witness who utters lies. And last on our list is one who spreads strife among the brethren. The King James Version, I think, says sow discord among the brethren. And you would think that the last place that you would find evil is in the church. But sometimes that happens there too. You know, someone wants to rule or have a little more power over people. One person has an opinion about a particular point and he's not going to rest until everyone is convinced that they need to take and share his opinion on something. Or someone is jealous of someone else's talents or gifts, and so they start gossiping and saying things about them. You know, all these things can cause strife and trouble, you know, in the church. And many a church have been split over things like this, where some people just, you know, they want you to believe the way they do. The idea behind being a Christian is to do things that give glory and honor to God, not to bring glory and honor upon ourselves. God hates those who spread discord among the brethren. You know, and that concludes the list of things that God told these people in that time. But like I said, that's not the only things that God has said that he hates. If you look in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16, God says, "For I hate divorce." He says, "I hate divorce," says the Lord, the God of Israel. "And him who covers his garment with wrong," says the Lord of hosts. There's certainly nothing wrong with people teaching that God is love, because he is. But he's more than that. He's a just God, and he won't take any excuses for us when we commit sin. God holds people accountable for their own actions. You know, so really, when these people say, "Well, God wouldn't condemn a person to hell," well, God's not the one who condemns you to hell. You condemn yourself to hell or not. You know, it's not God doing it, it's you doing it to yourself. But God has given mankind everything that he needs to keep him from going there. But he will not force anyone to do something against their will. But he will hold you accountable for your actions one of these days. On the judgment day, you won't be able to point a finger at someone else and say, "He or she made me go to hell." That's not going to happen. You know, I'm afraid the day of judgment is going to be a sad and very frightful day for many people, even many people who call themselves Christians. You know, to those who choose to not obey God, it will be the beginning of an eternity of punishment. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God." So, if people want to preach about God's love, they also need to preach about God's insistence on justice and the price people will have to pay for doing the things that God hates. You know, life is short. The older I get, the more I realize how short life really was. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow. You know, people die every day at all different ages of life, from the very smallest to the very oldest. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. If you have not been doing the things that you know you need to do in order to be pleasing to God and to bring glory and honor to God through your life, then now is a good time to change that. The Bible tells us it takes more than calling on the name of Jesus to be saved. It takes more than just saying, "I believe," to be saved. Romans 10 and 17 says, first, we have to hear God's word. Second, we have to believe that what we hear is the truth. Acts 11 and 6. Acts 2 and 38 tells us we have to repent of our sins. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says we have to confess the name of Christ in front of men. And Mark 16, 15 through 16 says we have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then we have to live the rest of our life being faithful to God. So if there's any way that we can help someone this morning to obey the gospel of Christ, won't you come and let it be known while we stand and sing the invitation song?